Good morning. Hey, it's amazing. I make those guys look better when I do my job, right? They do a good job up there. So grateful for you being here today. Want to say a special welcome. Thanks for joining us today. Excited about what the Lord has in store for us today. Just want to share a few things with you, a few things that are happening and going on and coming up. And then we're going to have a time of prayer to begin our service with. And so if you're a guest, let me say a special welcome to you. Thank you for being here. We're so glad that you chose to join and be with us. We want to connect with you, and we can do that in one of a couple ways. One, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you would fill that out, and at the end of service at the offering plate, if you'd leave that there as you leave today, it'd be a way for us to connect with you. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new, and click that button, fill that information out, and it's a way for us to connect with you and know who is worshiping with us today. And so I want to say a special thank you to all of those joining us today. All right, let me make you aware of a few things that are happening. There's a lot that is happening. It is springtime, and it is a busy time in the life of our church. By the way, thank the Lord for sunshine today. Amen? Y'all not as fired up as I am. I'm excited. But let me make you aware of a couple things. First of all, be with us tonight, 5 o'clock. We're going to continue, kind of added on to a portion of some evangelism training, some training in dealing with if somebody makes a decision to follow Christ, and we're doing some preparation for revival, anticipating God to be at work. And so I really want to encourage you as much as possible. I know it may be tempting to stay home and enjoy the pretty weather, but if you can, come back tonight from 5 to 6. We're going to do some training in anticipation for revival and spend some time praying for revival as well. And so if you can, come back tonight, 5 o'clock. We'll plan to go from about 5 to 6 and be with us, okay? Also, want to make you aware, this Tuesday night, we will be at Sherry and Al Ray Taylor's house for our cottage prayer meeting, and so I hope that you'll make plans to join us for that. It's just an in-home prayer meeting, and all we're doing is we're praying for revival, okay? We meet at 6 and try to spend most of that time talking about ways that we're praying for revival, and try to spend as much time as we can just praying, asking God to do a great work among His church. So we would love for you to join us for that. If you're not sure of their address or where they live, you can call the office or reach out to them, either one, and we'll make sure you're able to get there. That is, again, Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And so make sure to be with us, all right? A few other things I want to mention. All of our Wednesday activities will resume this Wednesday night, so I hope you'll make plans to be with us for that. We have meal at 5:30, services at 6, and our collegiate meal and services will also resume as well. I want to make you aware of a few opportunities. I'm going to talk about revival in just a moment in that week and try to make sure you get a picture of what all's happening and going on beginning next week. But before I do that, we have a group, myself and a few others, that will be going to Ghana this summer, okay? And so we're going to do church planting, evangelism, pastor training and leadership training, women's ministry training. We'll do some baptisms and just a whole sort of ministry that will take place, be gone about 9 days. But that trip is to Ghana, and it is, as you know, as you can tell from fuel prices and all those sorts of things, it is not cheap to get to Africa. And the majority of our costs lies in the expense of the airline tickets and those sort of things. And so here's what I want you to know is that as these individuals have prayed about what the Lord would have them to do and believe the Lord's leading them there, and I know there are several in this room, several part of our church family that would love to be able to go to Africa, love to be able to go to Ghana, and there just may be a variety of reasons why you cannot. But I also know there's several folks among us who want to support that work and that ministry. And so there's going to be some opportunities over the next couple months for us as a church family to support this mission team going to Ghana. One of those is there's a board, a bulletin board just outside the office that has Giving for Ghana, and there are envelopes there, and they have a number on them, 1 all the way through 50. And so what the opportunity is there is whatever number you want to take, and that is what you'll give. So if you're to take a envelope with 1 on it, you're committing, man, I'm going to give $1 to help go to Ghana, and it goes all the way to 50. And so we're going to do a variety of things to help support this work. It costs $3,600 per individual to go, okay? And so I want to encourage you as much as you can, if you'll pray for us, pray in preparation. We're going to begin some of our training very soon. And then also, if you would pray about how the Lord would have you to commit. And so we're going to have some of these things like this and just be a host of opportunities that you might be able to support. And if you're at a place financially you can't, the Lord knows that. Just be praying about how the Lord might have you to give toward that. All right? Then finally, let me talk a little bit about revival and what will be taking place. Brother Ronnie Tullis is our evangelist for the week. Be praying for him. He'll travel in on Saturday, and he will be with us beginning 1 week from today, Sunday morning. And he will preach Sunday morning. We'll have our regular service. We will have Sunday school, okay? Have our regular Sunday school, and then we'll come in here just like this for our Sunday morning service time. Sing, worship, be a normal service. Just Brother Ronnie will be our preacher. And then at concluding service, we'll have a potluck, okay? If you'll excuse my pointing out here in the foyer in the area there, there's some sign-up sheet opportunities. One of those is for the potluck meal that will happen next Sunday morning, immediately following our worship service. And then we will be back Sunday night. Now, normally our meeting time on Sunday night is 5 o'clock. It will not be that next week. It will be 6:30. I'll remind you. But we'll have Sunday morning service, potluck immediately following, and then Sunday night at 6:30. And then that our format, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, will follow similarly, where we will have a meal at 5:30. Again, sign-up sheets are out front. And then our service at 6:30 each night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, okay? And so we're doing some different themes to try to encourage participation and invite people, all that sort of thing. But everybody is welcome every single service. And I have said this to you, and I want to say it to you again. As much as I can encourage you, please do all that you can to be a part of these services as much as possible. We're believing and trusting the Lord to do a great work among His church that will bring Him glory and honor. Monday night, we're going to focus on families. It'll be our theme night, and we're doing an Italian-themed potluck that night. Tuesday night, we are emphasizing men's night and trying to invite as many men. Again, at all of these nights, everybody is encouraged and welcome to come. That will be a barbecue meal. The meat will be provided by the church, but we do need some help with some sides and other things. And then Wednesday, we'll focus on students. And the church is going to provide pizza, and I'm sure we'll have some salad and bread and some other things to help go along with that, okay? And so be praying, working on your commitment to be here as much as possible. We will take up a love offering Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Anything that is given will go to Brother Ronnie and the ministry. And just a way of saying thank you, I want to encourage you to be praying about what the Lord would have you to give, okay? I know that's a whole lot this morning, but I want you to be well aware of what the focus is. And here's what this is about. This is about just us having a time that is set aside that we can draw back closer to the Lord and ask God to do some things among His people that we can't do. That no man can do, no material creation, and only that God and through His Spirit can do among His people. This is a time to invite people. This is a time to be focused. This is a time to be praying for your family, your friends, your children, your grandchildren, to invite them. It's an incredible opportunity for us to ask, seek, and trust the Lord to do what only He can, okay? And we've been trying to pray and focus on prayer leading up to giving you the bookmarks to write one person that you're praying for that'll be saved during revival. I ask you to be praying for Brother Ronnie and in our services. And we're going to continue that this morning. And so I know, man, we're ready to get to it, where we sing and worship the Lord this morning. But here's what I want to, this is our theme verse, if you will, for revival beginning next week, is from Psalm 51. And it simply says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." I just wonder this morning, is there anybody saying here this morning, "And Pastor, I need some renewal this morning. I'm tired, I'm beat down, I'm struggling, my marriage is struggling, my relationship with my kids is struggling, my family," man, whatever it is, man, I believe there's probably some of us go, "Man, I need some renewal." And here's what I want to tell you, friend, we don't have to wait till next week. Man, God can meet us here this morning. And so what I want to just take a moment is, I just want to, in a moment we're going to have a time of prayer, but I want to invite anybody that is willing and able, praying for yourself, praying for these relationships, praying for other people in our church, that here in just a moment, if you'll come and get on this altar and pray, that not just that God will meet with us next week should he tarry, but may God meet with us today. So if you would, will you bow your head and close your eyes? And if you're willing and able, will you come and just kneel at this altar praying for God to meet with us today? Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Just asking God to do what only he can. I know some of you long to be able to come and kneel at the altar once again. I mean, you just pray right where you're at. God knows if you're physically not able. But you just pray this over and over. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Pray for him to renew those things that are struggling in your life. Create in me a clean heart. Ask him to forgive you. Man, those pet sins, those things you've been struggling with, confess them as sin and ask him to forgive you. Oh God, there's none like you. God, I pray this morning, would you create in me a clean heart? God, nothing on this earth can wash me and make me clean. But oh God, through the blood of Jesus, you'll wash me. God, though it be red like crimson, Lord, we want to be white as snow this morning. The spirit that is within us, God, make us clean. God, that in a moment when we lift up our voices and we lift up our hands, God, that only by the power of your spirit and the God, through the power of the cleansing work of the blood of Jesus, can our hands be clean. And so, God, I pray that you would renew a steadfast spirit in us this morning. God, we need a fresh work in our lives. We need you. God, I pray, would you heal, God, just struggling marriages this morning. God, I pray that you would renew broken relationships with kids and grandkids. God, I pray that you would renew broken relationships with you. God, I pray, would you renew broken relationships with siblings and parents and grandparents? Oh God, we pray that in the name of Jesus, you would renew a steadfast spirit. God, I pray that there would be a renewal, God, a breaking of, God, just this disappointment, God, a breaking of depression, a breaking of anxiety. God, that you would renew in us a steadfast spirit. And God, would you restore to us the joy of your salvation? God, I pray that we, in a few moments, God, we would stand and sing as if you're worthy of all our praise because you are this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and invade this place, that you would sit on this place, that the manifest presence of God would be among your people today. And would you do this in the name of Jesus? Amen.
Stand as we sing the heart of worship.
this be your prayer this morning.
If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Ezekiel, excuse me, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to begin reading in just a moment in verse 1 and read all the way through to verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel is both a prophet and a priest in his day. And to set the context just a little bit, as the children of Israel, they are in the midst, probably about year 12, give or take a few, in their Babylonian captivity. They had not followed the laws and the expectations of that God had set in place for them, and the commandments and all the things they were supposed to do. And so because of that, they come under the judgment of God. They are taken away into Babylonian captivity, and they're in about year 12 of that. And we're going to see that although God has promised some things in at the end of chapter 36 that, hey, these are still my people, I'm going to bless them, but in their current state, things aren't going real well. They're still in active rebellion against God. They still got some things to do, okay? And so Ezekiel chapter 37 in verse 1, I know you just sat down, but if you will, stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you that we are here today because you live. God, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me start with this. I love you. I really do. And let me just say from this perspective that I, in some way, am concerned. I'm concerned with this. I'm concerned that we need revival and that there may be some among us that don't really believe that. That we need a fresh touch from God, even today. And there may be some among us that don't believe that. That we're not yet convinced that we really do need God in this hour more than we ever have. And so, as your pastor, I'm concerned. And hey, and I realize, and I've told you this time again, Ronnie does not have a suitcase that he's going to put in his truck and bring over here and open that thing up and revival's just going to fall out. He can't pack it up in his truck. He can't bring it. He can't any more than I can or you can. But I'm concerned that we've not done all that we could to prepare to be ready to preach, to receive, and to, man, experience revival. That we're not desperate enough, we're not hungry enough, we're not destitute enough, yet ready. And so this morning, I want to preach to you revival among God's people. In Ezekiel chapter 37, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the main idea, I'm going to give you the key question, then I'm going to try to set it in its context and tell you what it meant for the children of Israel, because it meant something for them. It was specific to them, but I do believe that the Word of God is alive and it has a principle and some principles in which we can apply for our lives today, okay? And so the main idea of the text this morning is this: God desires to revive His people for His glory. God desires to revive His people for His glory. The question then this morning for you is, who are you expecting to bring revival? Or it may just be, are you expecting revival at all? Are you anticipating it? Are you hungry for it? Are you thirsty for it? We're going to see in a moment that Ezekiel has this vision of the children of Israel and there's nothing but death and they need God to do a work among them. We need revival. And here's the thing, God wants to send it. God desires to work among His people. God desires to send a fresh work among Second Baptist Church. And other churches for that matter. And so what does this mean? What is this picture then? What did we just read? And how is it going to apply to us? We're going to deal with the application in just a moment. But here's the deal. Is that there's kind of three central ideas here. And we're going to get to the application. This isn't a part of your notes, okay? This is just sort of setting the context, if you will. Is the first thing, as you read this, again, this isn't on your notes. The Lord is the only one that can revive the dead. He asked Ezekiel, as he sees this valley, it says that Ezekiel, the Spirit of God took him out and set him in the midst of the valley, amidst this desert and dry and dusty land. And as Ezekiel is kind of touring the place, all he sees is dead bones, dried up bones, there's no flesh, there's nothing, this is just skeletons there. And God asked him a pointed question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, how did he respond? He said, oh Lord, only you know. What's he saying? He's saying, the only one that can revive the dead, God, is you. Probably remembering back to the days of Elijah, some of the early prophets, and knowing what God can do and how God can work. But this is what he's teaching, he's reminding the Israelites is that the Lord is the only one that can revive the dead. Secondly, the Lord is the only one that can breathe on the bones, give breath to the bones. They go from putting them together and all this sort of thing, but it's the breath that changes everything. And that's what he needs the Israelites to see. It's more than just having a label, the people of God. They need God's presence among them. Okay? And then the third thing that we can see and understand that is important for these Israelites to understand is the Lord is the only one that can establish a great army. God had done some incredible things among His people. We even talked a few weeks ago about the sin of Achan and how sin had gotten in the camp. He had an incredible victory at Jericho. They should have easily been able to move on to the next battle, but they couldn't because there was sin in the camp. And it was a reminder, it doesn't matter how great the army, it doesn't matter how great the military structure, it doesn't matter about any of that among the people of God, is that it was God who gave the victory. And so here Ezekiel is, he's laying this groundwork out and going, man, this is what you need to see, this is what you need to understand. The children of Israel, because they're gone into captivity, and man, they are continuing to mix themselves with idols. They are continuing to rebel against God. And the end of chapter 36, he promises That God's blessing is going to be on his people and they're going to come back. But there's some things that have to be done and taken care of beforehand. And listen to part of this promise in chapter 36 and verse 26 and 27. You may flip there quickly if you can. I apologize, I don't have it on the screen. But here's what it says. Here's the promise. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Hey, listen, dear friend, listen. Some of you have experienced this in terms of salvation. You've had that day of conversion where God took the heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh. But listen, there's some of us this morning, man, we've got kids that have a heart of stone that need Christ. We've got grandkids that have a heart of stone, and man, they need a work of Jesus in their life. Man, we've got siblings and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles. But here's the other side of that. Listen, in a similar way, not exactly, but in a similar way, there are probably a lot among us this morning that don't have a heart of stone. We've experienced conversion, but we might have a heart of callousness, where we're not quite as sensitive to the work of God. One of the things we said, saying just a moment ago, Holy Spirit, make me more aware. I wonder, was there a time in your life when you were more aware? Where it just took the simple nudging for you to be more generous? Where it just took the simple nudging when you were a little bit frustrated and you weren't as gracious as you should have been? There just took the simple nudging before you even opened your mouth to gossip about somebody that, man, it just, man, sucked it right back in. But I just wonder, with that callousness, we're not quite as aware. We're not quite as sensitive. We're not quite as keened in on that. And so, man, next thing you know, we're several sentences in and several stories in before we even think about it. Or maybe we don't even think about it. Man, we're tearing somebody down. Or, man, we're a few swipes in down a rabbit hole that we've got no business being a part of. We're a few texts into a conversation that we've got no business being a part of, and there's no sense of awareness. Let me tell you, friend, what is going on is there's a callousness that happens and takes place. Second Baptist, God wants to send revival. God wants to renew us. Think, we're okay. Decent crowd this morning, sun shining. Finances are okay. Friend, can I tell you? I'll just say there, recently, just hearing of churches in our area that are perfectly content with dying. Just recently, hearing of a church in our region of the world where there seems to be at least individuals hoping that it will die so that it will be for their own personal financial gain. Friend, if you think for a moment that you or I are so spiritual that we can't get to that point, we're in trouble. Scripture says pride goes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. Jeremiah 17:9 says, my heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else. Listen how it ends. Who can know it? Your heart and my heart is more, when left to its own devices, is more wicked than you can even imagine. Well, that'll bless your heart on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Thanks, preacher. It's 65 and sunny outside. I came in here for this. Glory, right? But friend, all I want us to see this morning is that apart from the grace of God, every one of us is the chief among sinners. Friend, we need revival. And what I want to do over the next few moments is take the passage we've just read and make four applications for us today. And so, number one, sin leads us to the grave. Sin leads us to the grave. Remember, they had been in rebellion. Ezekiel sees this vision, all these dry bones, and he has this interaction, and God calls him to do some things, and he sees these bones come to life. And he sees this army established and raised up. But listen to what verse 12 says. As that has already happened, that is taking place. And listen to what he speaks to Ezekiel to tell the children of Israel. Therefore prophesy and say to them, who? To the children of Israel. Not the bones, not the vision anymore. Step out of the vision and say this to the children of Israel. All right? Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. They feel like dead folks because they've been in rebellion. They're in captivity, separated from the promise of God in terms of the promised land. But yet God still calls him his people. What's happening, man? They have rebelled. They have sinned against a holy God. And sin leads you into rebellion and separation from God. And it leads to death. That was the promise we saw to Adam, right? In the day that you sin, you shall surely die. They died spiritually. What happened is that then when the presence of God showed up, Adam and Eve went and ran. Why? Because they were spiritually dead, separated from God. Man, that's what death does. That's what sin does. It separates you. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, man, our iniquities separate us from us and our God, and that He will hide His face from us. But His arm is not short that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. And in verse 2, but our iniquities have separated us from us and our God that He will not hear. And sin causes death. Romans 6, 16, do you not know that whom... to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves from whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. Psalm 24, 3 through 6, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from his God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him. We seek your face, Salah. Listen, you may be saying this morning, man, Pastor, I'm here. I'm present, accounted for, and doing pretty good. And that may be true. And I hope it's true for everybody, but the reality is that you and I, until we go to see Jesus, the day we graduate to heaven, you and I will continue to struggle with this flesh suit, and you and I continue to struggle with sin. And the reality is, the majority of us in this room probably have pet sins that we're holding on to that we think do not impact anybody else, do not make anybody else struggle or anything. Man, listen, I'm telling you, friend, you don't beat the odds against God. God wins every time. And it's true, His word is always true. And sin leads to death. Now, as a believer, when I sin against God, I don't lose my salvation. Amen. Leads to death, internal separation from God. But it hinders my fellowship with God. And it prohibits the work that God wants to do in my life. When we sin individually, then there's sin among the corporate body of Christ. And God doesn't work among His people the way that He wants to work. Not without repentance. That's why revival always comes on the heels of prayer and repentance. And when revival comes, there's prayer and repentance. Because it's like taking the key and opening up the door and allowing the Spirit of God to do what He wants to do. Remember the main idea? God desires to send revival among His people for His glory. And so, number one, sin leads us to the grave. Number two, unity and order was not enough. Unity and order was not enough. Look at the text, okay? All right, so verse one, he takes him out and sets him in the midst of the valley. He calls him to pass by. He gets the grand tour, looks at everything. He asks him in verse three, can these bones live? Only Lord God you know is his reply. And then, now here's what's interesting. It's this valley of dead, dry bones. It's all around. Okay? Man, no flesh, no sign of life whatsoever. Okay? Do you get this picture? Think of this big, dry, dusty area, and it is nothing but a field of dry bones. No signs of life whatsoever. And I want you to think, for as far as you can see, nothing but bones. And there's this lone man that's standing in the middle of it. And here's what's fun about it, is God tells him to speak to him. Listen, I would like to think that I try to do all that I can to be obedient to God in the areas of my life, and I try to preach and teach what God would have me to teach. But can I be honest with you? I'm not sure if I'm standing in the middle of a dry and dusty land with a whole bunch of dead bones around me that God says speak to them, that I'm just going to speak, because we have no record of Ezekiel arguing whatsoever. So either he's exceptionally obedient or he's half crazy. Just this word. And so what happens? Look at verse 7, he said, so I prophesied, all right? Verse 8, and indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So I want you to get this for just a moment. Take this picture. In your mind, think about this dry, dusty land, a man standing alone, and there's nothing but these skulls all the way around. There's no sign of life. He prophesies, and then in a moment, there's the rattling of the bones as they're coming together, the sinew, the tissue, the ligaments, all these things coming together. Man, there's just this ridiculous noise that's happening as all this is taking place, the flesh, the muscles, all everything. And then in a moment, he's standing there and it's quiet again, as if it was just a few moments ago when there was nothing but skeletons. But now, there's nothing but a valley full of corpses, bodies. They look the part. Like, they're flesh and blood. They got everything they need to be alive, but they are just laying there as corpses. And that's it. And if the story had ended there, it would be a pretty cool, miraculous story of how a bunch of bones suddenly got some of their body back, but then they just continued to lay there, would not be that impressive. What's the deal? Man, all of a sudden they had unity. The body was back unified with itself the way that it was before it all deteriorated. And everything is gone. The body was put together. It had order. Everything was in its right place. But the problem was, is that it had no life. Listen to verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. It went from a really strange scene of a bunch of dead bodies in a valley that were all put together. They were nicely fit together, all that kind of thing, to an exceedingly great army. And listen, before the army stood to their feet, they had unity and order, but it was the breath of God that breathed upon them, that gave them life, that went from this really weird just a strange cemetery, everybody laying on top, to an exceedingly great army. And the difference was the Spirit of God, the breath of God in them. Listen to me, church. There's a lot of churches that are dying that go, man, if we could just get our constitution and bylaws back in order, if we could just get all the spots filled, if we could just get some things in order, if we could get all the processes right and we get all the things fixed, we can get the welcome desk right and we can get the signing up for membership right, if we can get all the things in order and put together, man, our church will be back live. But listen to me, church, we don't just need unity and order. We need the Spirit of God to breathe on His church that we may have life. I wish somebody'd help me this morning, I'm telling you. So, but he says, man, I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. Verse 14, listen to the promise. I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then listen, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with unity and order. God put things in place in unity and order when the bodies came together, but everything changed when the breath came into them. Church family, here's all that I'm saying. Let us beg God that unity and order is in place, but let us beg God that He breathes life into us once again. There's a lot of people meeting in a lot of places today, right now, that have unity and order, and God's not within a million miles of there. I'll be honest with you. I've got no interest in being a part of that. It's a pretty day. A lot of things we could do outside. But what makes the difference from this gathering, from every other type of gathering in the world, is that when the Spirit of God is here, He does something that can't be explained. God creates in us a new heart. And God renews a steadfast spirit within us. Chains are broken. Relationships are restored. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Zechariah 12:1, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heaven, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. It's God who gives life to the spirit. Ezekiel 36:26-27, we read this a moment ago. I'll give you a new heart, and look, and put a new spirit within you. Take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. That's the great army, the army that is obedient to the living God. What does that look like for us? It means that we get real serious about reading the Word of God every day. We get real serious about spending time in prayer with God every day, not just uttering prayers throughout our day, but really spending time with the Lord. Man, we get really committed, really convicted about sharing the gospel with lost people dying and going to hell. What does a great army look like? Man, it looks like we assemble together and we attend and we say, man, Holy Spirit, invade this place. We say, man, God, we're returning back to the heart of worship. And it's not about you, me, but it's all about you, Lord Jesus. And we sing for the glory of God because He lives. Man, the army raises up. We read, we pray, we witness, we come together, we serve together. Man, we give together and we go to the nations. That's what God's army looks like. And God's army looks like a New Testament church where there are a bunch of redeemed believers that have assembled together for a mission and a purpose that is alive and not looking back going, man, listen to yesteryear and look back what we did, and we flip through the album covers looking at the highlights of the years throughout our church history, and we look at those and go, thank you, Jesus, but man, let's make a new album cover and see what God wants to do among His people. And so, number three, He sends revival for His glory. He sends revival for His glory. Look at verse 6. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. Cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Look at this. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Mark or underline that in your Bible. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 13. Here it is. Mark or underline. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Verse 14, he says it again. He says, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Aren't you grateful that God speaks it and performs it? Hallelujah, all right? He doesn't just speak it and leave it up to us because, man, we mess it up, but God speaks it and then He performs it. That's what He says here. But what's He driving home with the people of children of Israel saying, look, you're my people, but I'm doing it, listen, for my glory. He's not doing it for Ezekiel's. He's not doing it for the priests or any other leadership. But He's doing it for the glory of Himself. Why? Because He's the only one that deserves the glory. He's the one that brought the rattling bones back together. He's the one that caused breath to go into them. He's the one that raised up the army. If God is going to send revival at Second Baptist Church, then when God does it, it shall be for His glory and nobody else's. The last thing, the worst thing we could do is me and see God do a great work and walk out of here and go, man, let me tell you what Chris did today. God in heaven, please don't do that. Because if that happens, then God will have to humble me in such a way and put me down in such a way that He makes it clear it's not me. Amen. If God does a great work next week, don't leave this place and say, man, I can't believe what Brother Ronnie did this week. If God does a work that's worth anything, man, as much as I love Brother Ronnie, if there's any work that happens as a result of our time meeting together that is worth anything for eternity, I promise you it wasn't Brother Ronnie. It was the Lord. It'll be the Lord. And so what's Ezekiel driving home? What's God driving home with His children saying, it is Him, that you may know that I am the Lord? God sends revival. It's not for prominence, play, or prestige. It's not for emotion, our history, or our comfort. If God does a work among Second Baptist, it won't be so that everybody around town go, man, let me tell you what happened at Second Baptist this week, but it'll be for the glory of the One who saved us. Psalm 72:17, His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. All right? Got to move on. Number four. He responded to their cry. He responded to their cry. Look at back at verse 11. So He gives them this vision. This thing takes place, verse 11. Then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, look at this, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. You know what's happening here? They're just being honest with God, what He already knows about them. They're just confessing to God what is already the reality of who they are. But you know what happens then? Think about it, parents. You see your kids struggling to learn something new, or you see them struggling in some area. How many times have you told your kids that, man, or they come into the room and they're trying to do something that they know that they can't, but they won't come ask for help, and they screw it up. They get it wrong. They mess it up. And what do you say? Why didn't you come ask me? Hello? We have a God in heaven who told Lazarus to come forth, and he came out the grave. We have a God in heaven who His very Son was upon the cross and said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And He was door-nailed dead for 3 days. And when they came to see Him, the angels said, "Why seek ye among the dead the living? He is not here. He is risen." The God of the universe, listen to me, says, "Church, if you'll call out to me, I'll hear. Listen, believer, if you'll call out to me, I'll answer. Listen, struggling in marriage, if you'll turn to me, I'll renew, I'll restore. Listen to me, lost sinner, if you'll cry out to me, I'm lost and need you, I will save you." They said unto Him, "Our bones are dry, our hope is lost." They didn't go, "I've seen worse." Me and Princess Bride fans, Miracle Max, mostly dead. No. They gone. Over. O-V. Done. And they didn't sugarcoat it. You know what good Southern Baptist folk do? "I've seen worse. We're okay. We got a few bucks. We got a few behinds in the seat." Every now and then, we can find somebody put in a baptistry. "My marriage is just okay. Not great, but okay. Today I've got some open lines of communication with my kids." You know what we need? We need some good old-fashioned days of people just getting on their knees begging God and being open and honest with Him, saying, "Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost unless you do something." We need some people that are more convinced than ever that unless God works, we're going to have unity and order with very little breath in our lungs. They didn't try to pretty it up. You know what they were? Listen to this again. They indeed said, "Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off." You know what that is? Listen to me. One word. Write this down somewhere. May write it in the margin next to this. Write this one word down. Desperate. They were desperate. In church, we won't see God move in our church like He wants to until we get some folks that are desperate for God to work. And so I just wonder this morning, how desperate are you? Let's pray. God in heaven, I'm almost scared to ask, but make us desperate. God, make us desperate for you. Work among your people today. Church, I'm just going to invite you. First invitation is this. If you're desperate for God this morning, if you're desperate for God to work among our church, work in your marriage, work among your kids, whatever it is, would you come and just pray at this altar? Would you come and just be honest? Man, do we have anybody desperate this morning that God's just stirring in your heart? And go, man, I'm desperate. And you may even say, man, I need to be desperate for being desperate. That's the second invitation. Man, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really that desperate. Man, would you just come and pray that God would stir in you, that He would make you desperate, that He'd make you want to want more of Him? And listen, we've got kids and grandkids and moms and dads and aunts and uncles. I just wonder if you would come and get at this altar and pray that God would save them next week, that God would do something in this place that might change their life forever. And some of us maybe have marriages that we need to beg God to save our spouse, to save our marriage, do something. Man, would you be desperate today? God, ask Him. Beg of Him. Be honest before Him. Don't sugarcoat anything in this moment. Maybe there's a callousness. Ask God to remove it today. Don't miss this moment. Don't rush away from this. Thank you. Well, amen. Man, thank God for His goodness and grace. Let me say, man, if God's dealing with your heart about salvation, I'll be around. I'd love for you to come talk to me. You can fill out a card in the pew back. There's a place to just some general information. Maybe you want to pray to receive Christ today and give your heart to Jesus. Just wanted to touch a few of those things. Wasn't the best plane landing I've ever had right there, but just really believe, man, we got to be desperate for God to work and for God to move. So I want to encourage you as much as possible. Be a part. Be praying. Be a part of the meetings this week and ask God to do what only He can, okay? We're going to have some of our men get ready to take place, help us take up our offering today. Don't forget, you still have opportunity to give towards Annie Armstrong. So I want to encourage you to give in that way. And then also just to give to our regular tithes and offerings. And so thank you so much. Let's stand together and we will pray and be dismissed. Be back with us tonight at 5 o'clock, okay? All right, let me pray. Jesus, You're good, and there is none like You. Thank You for today. Thank You for the truth of Your word. God, make us desperate for You. God, we pray, would You send revival among Your people?